Okay, we rejoice with the latest offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can start our puja chanting now. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we shall officially commence our puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Xin Pusa. Namo Guan Xin Pusa. Namo Guan Xin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Bhusyan Pusa. Namo Bhusyan Pusa. Namo Bhusyan Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Now we turn to page 4 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of lights. Gandha sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindas siripada sarorohe pujemi budang kusuminanena punnena matena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yatva itang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Turn to page 18. We will do the puja expiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following expiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May this our offering, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide. The fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balanced. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay. You all can be seated. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we can start our meditation. For those who are first time here, I think Sister Molly is first time here. She is Susan's friend. So I may give some explanation as to what this session is all about. This Tuesday class is supposed to be the Sutta class where we will discuss the Diamond Sutta. Mm. It's a Mahayana Sutta. Mm. Before we start, we normally have puja, devotional practice to develop our faith, our spiritual faculty, so that they can help us overcome the mental hindrance. So that's the reason why we start off with the puja as recommended by Lord Buddha Sakyamuni. Mm. Then because of our affinity with many of these great beings, Bodhisattva and all the other Buddhas like Amitabha Buddha, Maitreya Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pusian, Vansu, Tizang Wang Pusa, and many other great beings. That's why we recite and pay respect to all the Bodhisattvas, four Pusa and Buddhas. When we develop this puja, we develop a lot of faith, very strong sadha. And this faith is very important. It will enable us to understand spiritual teaching relatively easier, because the faith will make us very calm, very composed, and it will give us the appropriate confidence to listen to the Dhamma, the teaching. It will make our mind calm and composed. Then from the faith, we develop the understanding of who the Buddha is, how special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. Then we also come to understand how unique his teaching is. It can liberate the mind of living beings and bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. It can relieve all of living beings of human suffering or unnecessary suffering when we confront life. So all this will bring forth very, very clear understanding as to how unique the Buddha is and how wonderful this teaching is, so that our faith will be enhanced, so that it will become unshakable. Then it will drive us to diligently cultivate this teaching. That's how the second spiritual faculty of virya, spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way, come about. Then when we recite and chant with mindfulness, when we make offering to the Triple Gem with mindfulness, with joy and with understanding, we are chanting the significance of all this offering. Then we make aspiration for causes and conditions for us all to progress along the path of Dhamma and to become very different, very wholesome. So all this will help us to develop the subsequent spiritual faculties, especially mindfulness. When we pay respect, we do it mindfully. When we make offering, we do it mindfully. When we rejoice, we do it mindfully. No? Then as we observe our activity, all of our kaya, bodily movement, bodily activity, our mental observation, if we can do it with mindfulness, we develop very good training of mindfulness, so that we can develop the heedful mind to live life in a heedful way instead of being heedless like before. So all these are very, very positive and help out in the development of the spiritual faculty of sati. Then as sati stabilizes through our meditation, which we are going to do now, it will lead to samadhi, which is the third and the fourth spiritual faculty. Then when you have sati, which is mindfulness, and samadhi, which is the unwavering mind, collected mind, you can see things as they are with clarity. That's how wisdom come about, the last spiritual faculty. Then your mind, it can insight into phenomena, it can awaken, it can lead to enlightenment. So the five spiritual faculty when in place, your mental hindrance will be gone. The reason why we cannot meditate is because the Buddha said, living being has been heedless for too long. You have been developing all this habitual tendency to arise the five mental hindrance without your knowing, without your understanding. That is heedless living because of your delusion, self-delusion. Your mind become heedless, and you are so conditioned into all these mental states and activity. That's how the five mental hindrance keep on arising until it become habitual. And as the word denote, the five mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why you cannot meditate. So we come here to train our mind so that it is heedful, it is not heedless, so that the spiritual faculty will take over and the five mental hindrance will cease to be. Then only we can develop the meditation. So now, after puja, we have our meditation, which is to train our mind to be mindful, to be heedful, so that it can be used to develop wisdom and understanding. Heedfulness is very important, the Buddha said. Without sati, there is no heedfulness. Without sati, there is no training. And the Buddha make it very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So it is very important to train our mind to develop heedfulness. So for those who are new, who have not trained their mind, you will have to develop the training. So I will teach you a skillful means to develop the training of the mind. We call it the mind sweeping method. It will help you decondition your heedless thinking, so that the hindrance will be at bay, so that you will not think, you just feel and relax. So the mind sweeping method start off with body and mind in a relaxed state. Then you make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight, relax body and mind. Then close your eye. Maintain attention at your forehead and feel. Do not think, just feel. Any tension, any stress within, or any tightness, just feel it, relax, relax, and relax, soothingly relax them all. Then you move on to your forehead. You just feel, feel. And as before, relax. Then you move on to your eye muscle, again feel. And relax into all the eye muscles that are still having the tension, the tightness, and the stress within. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle, do the same, relax every part of it. Then you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness. And when there is joy, you are in a happy state. That's why your mind will relax your facial muscle naturally. The radiant smile will lead to a relaxed state of body and mind. Then you continue to silence everything. Then you can radiate love and metta starting with yourself. And you can recite following while I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire being, each and every cell within your body and mind. Then may this body and mind of mine too be free of all suffering, free of all physical and mental suffering, free of all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we will continue to radiate this metta to all our loved ones. May all our loved ones too be well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts. Then we can radiate this same metta to all beings within this vicinity of SS2, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Kayanamitas, fellow Dharma friends. May we all too be well, happy and peaceful. May our mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May this body and mind of ours still be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we can continue to radiate this love and metta to all beings. May all beings throughout the whole of SS2 Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth planet, then the whole of our solar system, the whole of our Milky Way galaxy, then extending it to the whole universe. May all beings within the entire existence be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. You come back to your facial muscle, feel relaxed. Then you move it down to your neck, feel relaxed. Again, your shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand back to shoulder, feel relaxed every part within. Then you move your attention to your heart area. Silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration within or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and just stay there. If you are new, you are not sensitive, you have not developed the mindfulness, it's okay. You can just feel your heart area like you feel your forehead. Relax into every mind state. Then you move on to feel your stomach. Feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your abdomen. Again, feel, relax. Then you move your attention further down to your buttock. Feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then you can repeat the whole of this mind sweeping method. Starting from the buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then your abdomen, silence everything. Feel and relax. Stomach, heart area. Then you move your attention back to your shoulder, relax. Hand back to shoulder, relax. Then you move it up to your neck, feel relaxed. Then you move up to your facial muscle again, feel relaxed. Then you move it to your eye muscle, feel relaxed. Then your forehead. By now, you should be more calm and peaceful. This is the meditative state, the peaceful mind, the silent mind that is peaceful, quiet, and mindful, with inner peace within, with inner mindfulness within. You will then need to develop another skillful means to stabilize this mindfulness, this peaceful mind, this silent mind. So I will teach you anapanasati, which the Buddha used to train this mind so that it is always in sati, so that it is mindful of its own breathing, the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is establishment of mindfulness of the in and out breath. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril, then breathe in, breathe out normally. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, aware, you can detect the mind and the breathing move as one. Then breathing out, again, relax and develop the awareness. So this training is very useful. Initially, if you are not skillful, you have not developed this training to do anapanasati, within split second you realize your mind will wander off, but it's okay. Be patient and tell yourself, if I am patient to train, I will develop this stability of mind. This mindfulness of the in and out breath will become a part of me, like my second nature. So you just patiently train. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Maintain awareness. Not long, this mind will settle down. Then you will be able to develop the anapanasati until you become very calm and very peaceful. Then you experience piti, which is a mental peace, mental calmness, a spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture that will arise when you develop it appropriately. So this anapanasati, if it's done properly, the mind will settle down and become very calm and very peaceful, and you will experience piti, which is spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, a spiritual rupture, born of mindfulness, born of a trained mind. Then if you continue to relax into it, stabilize it further, this piti will transform and become sukha, spiritual bliss. You will feel the very blissful state of mind as you meditate. Then if you continue to relax deeper into it, even this sukha will transform to become pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, silent mind, the meditative mind. When you are able to develop that stability, then the mind will enter pasati. Pasati is an enlightenment factor. The mind will become very calm, very still, very silent. Then you just relax everything and just silence everything and just feel. Wherever you locate this mind, it becomes very sensitive because it is quiet, peaceful, silent and still. That is the meditative mind. That is what pasati is all about. When the mind is in sati, it will have this ability to be mindful of everything that arises within the moment. So continue to train your mind until you develop this pasati, the silent mind, the peaceful mind, the tranquil, still and silent mind. Then later on, when you are able to develop this, use this mind to meditate, to understand the essential Dhamma. You will come to experience them all of the Buddha's essential Dhamma that he has taught us. They will arise within your own form and mind. You will witness them and you will understand them. Then you can develop a lot of understanding of his teaching. Okay, allow you to meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 to 15 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peacefulness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. The mind that is trained become very different. It is very peaceful, very calm, relaxed, and there is this inner mindfulness within, the attentiveness. This is the meditative mind that you need to develop so that you can make use of it to cultivate the daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness. And that is the real meditation. Okay, now we will turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read to you the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In the universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhaman muni rajasa Sunantu sakamokadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro risa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko Pachatang veditadbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yatidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaniyo anoterang punyaketang lokasati. Sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, we'll pay respect to Tripa Jam. Bedang puji me. Damang puji me. Sanghang puji me. Okay, you can be seated. Relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with the second session. Before we start the Diamond Sutta tonight, maybe I will just open it up for meditation, reporting, or Q&A if there's anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any question. Anybody? Ah, yes, Chui, yeah. Pass the mic to Chui here. Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Teo,
yeah.
This is not so much about reporting of the meditation, but okay. A question.
Ah, good.
Now, there is two terms referring to concentration. One is samadhi and one is samatha.
Yes.
I'll tell you what I understand, so maybe you can clarify better.
Okay.
With samatha,
yes.
The concentration is more one-pointedness concentration that leads to jhana. But that does not necessarily mean we would achieve any prajna, I think they call it, wisdom.
Yeah? Yes.
While the samadhi concentration would hopefully evolve into some kind of wisdom, understanding of wisdom.
Yeah,
now, does that involve any form of jhana at all?
Okay. Yeah, very good question. I think we have dealt with this before. I think a number of occasions. The best one is to read that book, Samatha Vipassana, based on the talk that I deliver in Klang. Is explained very clearly inside there. But for tonight's discussion, I will answer it one more time. So this word has been quite often debated and even discussed in many occasions. And many Buddhist cultivator, practitioner, and including monks, they have deferred understanding. So during the early days, it was very popularly accepted that all of meditation will lead to concentration of mind, unification of mind. That's how the word samatha come about. So in the early days, especially Hindu meditation and even some of the later meditation that involve the thought, they call it thought-based meditation, they use a lot of focusing and concentration. Then they develop what they call jhana. And these are all within the field of thought, very strong energy build-up. That's why you read this. The Buddha actually did type of meditation when he was searching for truth, when he was cultivating under the two teachers, Alara and Udaka. And these are Hindu great meditation master or teacher. They are like the foremost at that time. But the Buddha himself, after perfecting all those that they have taught them even better than the teacher, but he realized that it does not lead to the enlightenment that he was seeking. He left the palace because he saw the four signs. He wants to seek an answer to overcome the first three signs, old age, sickness and death. How can he transcend and go beyond these three signs that he saw? Then despite developing all this jhana, everything, the perfect mind state, the deep concentration and absorption, he realized the body still has this problem of getting old, getting sick, and one day die. So that's why he was not satisfied. He continued with his investigation and meditation. Then he realized the middle way is the correct approach. You must not indulge in sensual indulgence or self-mortification. The early day practice was through self-mortification, means you torture yourself, you subject yourself to a lot of very austere conditions so that you can endure them all, believing that finally one day when you can actually pay back all your suffering, enlightenment in the here and the now will be possible. He realized that one doesn't lead him to the enlightenment that he was seeking. So he actually reverted back to having food. Then when his body develops the required nutrient and strength, then he started to investigate again, recalling the early days when he was a child during the harvesting festival, where he developed this very beautiful mind state. He only reached the first jhana at that time. He was so serene, so calm and so peaceful that he didn't go into absorption. When he recalled that state, he tried, he went into that state. And because he went into that state and he didn't go further in, he was able to develop the real samadhi, the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. So that one is not a concentration mind, not a concentrated mind. The concentrated mind has the five jhanic factors. They call it vitaka, vichara, then piti, sukha, and ekagata. Ekagata is the final one, the fifth jhanic factor, which is one-pointedness of mind. That one can develop a lot of energy, because when you focus and send all your thought to one point, the thought energy got nowhere to go, it will build up. That's why wherever you locate your mind, if you note, the energy will build up. If you focus, the energy will build up. So all this will lead to thought-based meditation, energy field. And the Buddha knew about it. That's why in the first jhana, the other three are not so pronounced. You develop vitaka and vichara. Vitaka and vichara are two Pali words, the initial jhanic factor. Vitaka is called applied thought. When you apply your thought to a meditation object, then the energy will actually build up. But because it is not strong, so you have to train. That's why you apply the thought there. Then vichara is to sustain the thought there until you forget about the noting, until you develop that so-called mindfulness. Then when the sati develop, mindfulness develop, piti will arise. Then when piti arise, sukha will arise. Just like what we developed just now. Because when there is mindfulness, there is no thought. The mind becomes peaceful, calm. You experience the spiritual calmness and peace. But this type of calmness is not strong. It's not the apana samadhi, or what they call deep concentration. Then after that, you continue to relax into it and you don't focus, then it become more refined and you will experience sukha. But those two energy field, they focus, they concentrate. And because of that, this so-called PT develop into one-pointedness, then they experience extreme peace, they experience bliss, blissfulness. Then as they develop this until it's more and more refined, then they will go up into the deeper concentration, which they call the second, third, and the fourth jhana. So when they relinquish the first two, vitaka and vichara, then they stay in piti, they reach the second jhana. Then they will relinquish piti, then they stay in sukha, the third jhana. Then when they relinquish sukha, and they stay in one-pointedness, equanimity, they reach the fourth jhana. That's how they build it up, and that's how they push up the energy field and all those things. So this is one aspect of energy field, or samatha, meditation. That's why later on, after the Buddha came to realize the true samadhi, after he shared his teaching with the world, the Buddha realized the real samadhi is not concentration. The real samadhi is just at what they call upachara samadhi, means excess concentration, before you go into apana samadhi, before the mind enters absorption samadhi or one-pointedness samadhi. Because when you enter that, the mind become a conditioned state. And when that happens, all of your defilement, the five mental hindrance, your three evil roots, your self-delusion especially, they are all suppressed, they cannot arise. So in that state, the cultivator may believe that they are already enlightened. Then their metta can be very powerful and very strong. Then because they have this conditioned state, the energy to sustain their inner peace, inner calmness. And because all thoughts are killed into one point, like no thought, because the thought cannot move. That's why they believe that is samadhi, that is samatha. And then they got no outlet. They force the energy out. They have to use the energy. That's why they use it for psychic ability. Otherwise they got problem. So all this is what they do. But during the Buddha's time, many of the monks, because the Buddha taught them metta, loving kindness, so they relate this energy out in the form of loving kindness and compassion. Then if they continue to do and develop more and more of this metta, the four Brahma Vihara state, then they can end up taking birth in the Brahma realm. They got the 16 Brahma realm, which is within the form jhana. So after they are passing away, if they develop this four type of jhana, first, second, third, or fourth, depending on their skill and proficiency, they will end up taking rebirth in the Brahma realm. Then for some who go beyond this four jhana, they went into the formless jhana. Their mind state go beyond the rupa realm. They go into the arupa jhana, means the formless jhana. They will develop the infinite space concentration that develops the experience of this mind moving into infinite space. Then they experience further, after they are not satisfied with infinite space, they develop more refined state of the formless jhana until they realize infinite consciousness. Then after they go beyond the infinite consciousness, they realize their mind becomes so subtle and so quiet, they lie in the realm of nothingness, like there is nothing at all. Yeah. That is the third formless jhana. That is where one of the Buddha's teacher realized and reached, and they thought is ultimate. Then the last one, reach the fourth arupa jhana, which is the realm of neither perception or non-perception. The mind becomes so still, so subtle, until there is neither perception or non-perception. It's like you neither exist or don't exist. It's so subtle. That's why they live very, very long. So such are all thought-based meditation. They are still within the 31 plane of existence. They have not realized Nibbana. They have not realized the cessation. And this cessation or enlightenment, Nibbana, can only be realized via wisdom, understanding, when the defilements are rooted out, when there is no more delusion, no more ignorance, so that the death moment, the moment of dying, there is no more rebirth consciousness due to ignorance. So avijja paccaya sankhara, that condition, the next rebirth consciousness cannot arise. So that one, you need to release out all this concentration back into upacara samadhi, means the normal excess concentration before you go into absorption concentration at the threshold where the mind is in a natural state. It's not a conditioned state. That's why all the defilements, all the mental hindrance, they are not suppressed. They are still free to arise. That is the mind state that the Buddha talked about when he teach Samasamadhi in the Noble Eightfold Path. So this Samasamadhi is very different. He called it the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. But it's not in Apana Samadhi. Yeah. That's why he used this as an enlightenment factor, not the one in Jhana. Yeah. But nowadays, there is a new group of monks or even cultivator. They define another type of jhana. They call it the wisdom jhana. I don't know where they find that word. There is some truth if they understand what that thing is. They say this is also jhana because they want to like certain commentaries. Because they define samadhi as the jhanas and the sadha. So they say, yeah, you are correct. Some of the sutta mention, because they base it on sutta commentary. Then they say, that jhana that the Buddha taught is not the energy field type of jhana. You see, this one is wisdom jhana. And you know how they define wisdom jhana or not? Actually, they also relax their body and mind. Then they also do anapanasati. Then they will go into all those, what they call, so-called jhanic factor. But their jhanic factor is different. They don't end up as one-pointedness. They still have piti and sukha. Then after that, they say they develop their wisdom, the wisdom that will actually separate them into first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana. I believe they must have used certain guideline. So we say when you are in that state of samadhi, then you will have this wisdom jhana arising. So that one is another explanation. But all this to me is not important. You have to develop the cultivation yourself. You have to understand through your own investigation. Whatever that is being described, if you cannot understand the four foundation of mindfulness taught by the Buddha, then you cannot relate to his teaching. Because the four foundation of mindfulness is the most important. And within the four foundation of mindfulness, it is very, very clearly explained how the cultivation should be developed. Starting with kaya anupassana. He said initially you train your mind to be mindful of the in and out breath. That's why the first category of practice under Kaya Anupassana is Anapanasati. And Anapanasati is mindfulness of in and out breath. There is no mention of concentration, focusing and all those things. Then after you develop the ability to be mindful already, after you have trained that mind to be mindful, he said don't continue to do. Forget about Anapanasati after that. You must move into the four posture, mindfulness of the four posture. If you follow his teaching, then you will end up understanding what samadhi is. If the teaching, let's say, sama samadhi is sama jhana, let's say, if the Buddha meant that, then why do he use another word? Understand? Why must he use the word samadhi? He might as well say sama jhana. Finish. No confusion, nothing. But he never used that word. That is the Hindu teaching. That's why Vincent sent a link today, which is quite good. If we have time, I will try to discuss it. Because that one is based on the Vedanta and the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu teaching, their highest teaching. And that one, they incorporate a lot of the Buddhist teaching and understanding, and they compile them into one complete teaching, which they call it their Vedanta. And in India, it's very popular because the Hindu, they go very deep into all this. Yeah. But they believe in the soul, the ultimate Atman, the true self, the higher self, the ultimate self and all those things. So that, according to the Buddha, is self-delusion. But because that is their core teaching, that's why they cannot remove that. They hold on to that. Then their explanation of the form and mind is different. They use their own explanation, but the actual one is very different. I will try to explain to you later on when we have the time. Yeah. So, this Hindu teaching, which was there before the Buddha, was very popular at that time. So that's why if you don't go through the four foundations of mindfulness and develop the daily mindfulness, you're after the four posture, mindfulness of the four posture, you need to develop the third category of cultivation, which is mindfulness of the connecting movement and action between the four posture, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement within the present moment. Then you must have clear comprehension of four things, four very important things. The Buddha said not only you establish and develop sati, you must have clear comprehension. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose means you develop this so-called mindfulness training or meditation is to develop only wisdom to liberate your mind, not energy field, not psychic and all those things. Yeah. That's why you must have very, very focused type of understanding. It means sincerity of purpose. Then the second one is clear comprehension of domain of meditation. It means this type of meditation can be done anywhere, anytime, any place, under whatever posture. The mind state need not be in the form of meditation. That's why the daily mindfulness will allow you the insight into phenomena to develop the initial wisdom, especially self-delusion, severe. Then you will understand his teaching very clearly. Then only you move in to contemplate the unreality of this body. That's why you reflect and contemplate on the four elements, the 32 part, the condition arising. When the 32 part comes together, this human being is animated. It's just like the block card. When all the parts comes together, then the block card arises already. Yeah, there is condition for it to arise. So this 32 part is the same when they come together and perform a function like the block card, then the human being arises. But when the condition cease to be, means when you take all the block card, the parts away, then it failed to perform that function, it's no longer that blocker. So it's an analogy for you to develop. Then of course you can also add in all the other type of contemplation, the foulness within the 32 parts. Means you were not deludedly grasped, cling and attached to this physical body, thinking that it's very beautiful, it belongs to you. That's why a lot of people become lustful, they are attracted to the pretty form, the beautiful form and all those things. So to overcome that, the Buddha teaches the last of the Kayanupassana, the sixth practice. He said you have to contemplate the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. When a living being die or human being die, when they actually dispose of their physical body, last time they don't go for cremation. They do, but most of them, they will just dispose it off to the China ground. Then it will go the way of nature, the nine stages of decomposition. Then he say, as a monk, you contemplate and reflect and see all this. Then you will develop clear understanding of what this form is all about. When it's devoid of consciousness, when consciousness separate, which we call death, then it goes the way of nature. Then you see how the form degenerate, the four elements break down. Then how finally it become from dust to dust. Yeah. So all this is for you to reflect, contemplate and develop the understanding. Then after that, you move into the other aggregates of mind. After kaya, you go into vedana, feeling, the aggregate of feeling. Understanding clearly that this feeling is condition arising, cause of phenomena, impermanent, leading to suffering. The three types of feeling. Then after that, you move into the content of consciousness, which is sankhara and your perception. Then finally, the last foundation is dhammanupassana. So you develop all this cultivation, then you will come to understand the daily mindfulness leading to all this contemplative wisdom. They are all done in the daily life. And because of that, the mind that is not in the concentrated state, is not a conditioned state, is a free mind. A free mind has the defilement, has the hindrance, they are not rooted out. So it is for you to test yourself in the midst of life, to develop the understanding and the wisdom, to find out whether your mind can still stir, the defilement are still there or not, the self-delusion are still there or not. If they are not rooted out, it will manifest. That's how wisdom, panya, is the one that free and liberate the mind without having cultivated the four foundations of mindfulness leading to the seven factors of enlightenment. You cannot understand. Then when the seven factors of enlightenment arise, like what we had in our transcript, the last Satipatthana Sutta class, where I summarize everything, the yellow book, if you read through, you understand. When the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising, when you are mindful of the seven factors of enlightenment, then only you understand that you are on the right path. Yeah. No, you see, the seven factors of enlightenment, they are all connected, understand? Yes, otherwise you cannot become enlightened. Because you start with sati. That's why that day, Brother Song, I think he was at the Anyo, what? Who is the singer? Anyo Choi. I don't know how to pronounce the name. He asked me a very good question. He said when he went to Thailand, the recent that retreat where he helped out, then he said there are many monks and yogi there. Then one of them, a Singaporean who is a very good meditator too, but he did a lot of concentration, jhana, and he has what they call very deep concentration ability. And he shared a lot of things with Brother Song. But Brother Song got this condition to try to help him understand. But initially, he couldn't understand. So he keep on asking Brother Song a lot of questions. He asked Brother Song, what is the most important mind factor that you must develop for you to progress in meditation? So Brother Song, as usual, told him, sati, mindfulness. You will agree then? Sati. You know what his question was? He said, cannot be. Because the meditation as taught by the Buddha, he knew, is the Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path, they are systematically placed in that order because the Buddha, being the Sammasambuddha, he knew. He said the first path factor is right view, samadhiti. Then right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, then right effort. Then only right mindfulness. Mindfulness number 7, Why you say is the most important? So, how you answer here? That's why Brother Song came and asked me. He said he got a point. How you answer him? That's why when people don't understand the cultivation, this question will arise. Understand not? When you are cultivating to become enlightened, then it's different, understand not? Then you have to go for enlightenment factors, understand not? But when you are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, it's one path, no? Although it has 8 path factors, but it is one path, no? Understand not? That's why the Buddha, under the Four Noble Truths, he said, there is this Noble Eightfold Path, no plural one, understand not? Only one path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, means a complete Noble Eightfold Path, you will realize the cessation of suffering. You will become enlightened. You will liberate your mind. So this one is to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path to become enlightened. The other one is to cultivate the enlightenment factor so that you can become enlightened. So to cultivate enlightenment factor, I told Brother Song, which is the first enlightenment factor? Sati. Understand? That's why sati become number one. Understand not? Because the Buddha knew without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. The second enlightenment factor cannot arise. Without sati, there is no four foundation of mindfulness. Without sati, there is no heedfulness. That's why you cannot start. That's why without sati, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So sati is number one. Then you can also ask, how come the 5 spiritual faculties sati is number 3? The Buddha is correct again, because you need to have faith. Then you need to have sada leading to virya, then only it drives you to cultivate. And then only you cultivate sati, understand? Then when sati arises, that's why I say, there is only the beginning of meditation. Without a stable sati to go into daily mindfulness, you have not started. That's why sati, the first factor of enlightenment, is very important. Then you need to develop the stability of it. So to stabilize sati, what you need is you investigate into the Dhamma Pada verses that the Buddha has taught. Then when you have this ability to investigate and realize that they stand up to investigation, you have a lot of faith, understand? Your faith becomes unshakable. Then the virya will become unshakable. It will drive you. Then what happens? You will have this third enlightenment factor, which is virya, understand? That's why virya become the third enlightenment factor. After sati and dhamma vichaya, dhamma investigation, virya will arise, because you investigate and it stand up the investigation. Then when virya arises, this mind become well trained, understand? Then piti become very stable. Because when you have trained this mind very well, sati become very stable, then it will arise piti. When there is no thought, there is only mindfulness, piti will arise. Then when piti arises, if you know how to relax and silent, you will go through sukha. But if you don't attach, you will not get trapped. then you will realize pasati. That's why pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. This is the meditative mind, and this is the fifth enlightenment factor. That's why you cannot hit that one, you cannot develop samadhi. Your mind has to be completely silent, still, tranquil. It's in sati. Then only the daily mindfulness with that mind, the silent mind, develop the stability of mind to be in samadhi. Samadhi means what? Unwavering. Understand? Collected. But not in apana samadhi. That's why it's in upachara samadhi. So this mind, at the moment of sense experience in daily life, it will not stir, it will not waver. It will allow you to see things as they are. Because this mind has samadhi. So without pasati, samadhi cannot arise. But when pasati and samadhi arise, then you can see things as they are, then you develop the wisdom, the understanding. And then when the understanding comes, the wisdom comes, only the last factor of enlightenment arises, upeka, equanimity of mind. Because when you have wisdom already, you are not deluded, your mind will not stir. So this last enlightenment factor, which is upeka, is not born of energy field, not born of a conditioned state. Because when they are in jhana, they also, like in equanimity, their mind does not stir, does not waver, nothing, very still, because of the one-pointedness energy field. And the evil root, they are not rooted out as yet. The mental hindrance, they are still suppressed. So that's why in that state, you cannot know whether you have awakened or not, whether you have rooted out the defilement or not. That's why you have to release it out into normal daily mindfulness, or what we call a free mind, and not a concentrated mind, not a conditioned state. So this is where they went wrong. They go into one-pointedness, they go into absorption, they go into jhana, then they think that is samadhi. Then their mind state are very still, very, very, very calm, full of equanimity. And they can develop psychic ability, radiate metta, and they are like enlightened beings. But this one is a conditioned state. That's why many are trapped. That's why the Buddha knew it does not lead to enlightenment, because when they grow old, when they lose their ability to maintain this jhana, this concentration, when they are very weak, very fragile, then they don't have ability to maintain that jhanic experience. Then like good food, after having it for so long, is no longer special, understand? Then they cannot attain to it. They cannot maintain it. Because like the Buddha said, all these are conditioned states. They are not permanent. So when they lose this power to be in concentration, the conditioned state of mind no longer support them, then they have fear, they have worry, they have anxiety. They cannot understand the death process. When they get old, get sick, and about to die, there is fear. That's why they go into all the jhana. Then they want to die with the jhanic mental state. They want to take birth up there, believing that those are ultimate mind state. But the Buddha knew they are all still within the 31 plane of existence. That's why he was not satisfied. That's why he continued. And his teaching is very different. He said there is no God, there is no soul, nothing. Everything within the condition arising world is dependent originating. There is no Atman. There is no permanent unchanging entity that you call a soul that transmigrate from one life to another life. The Hindu believe this soul transmigrate from one life to another life. Then they carry the mind field with them and all those things. No. When you go through life, you understand. When the child is born, the consciousness is very simple. It's only one rebirth consciousness, pure. But this one inherit everything. Like the Buddha say, born of his karma, heir to his karma, conditions upon it. And that being, the form of mind is what it is because of his karma. So you are what you are because of your karma. So all this you will come to understand and experience as you go through the cultivation. Then it will fit in exactly as what the Buddha has taught. Then there is a spiritual nature which they cannot understand. Then there is no being, non-self. The segmental form and mind is not them. And because of that delusion, living being fall, suffering arise. That's how samsara is being created. Then beings evolve for eternity.
Thanks, Brother Tu. I just want to share because I think I almost got caught in it. I know what it is, but when I look at so much Buddhist literature, the word concentration is used so loosely that you forget. You know, you get confused. So for a moment, I was shaken. So I wanted to clarify.
Very
and
good.
I think a lot of us will get into the same problem.
Because concentration is, you like it or not, it's like in Hokkien, got show to see, uhi kwa. Because when you do concentration, you like got magic, got psychic ability, you can see light, you can see nimitta, then you can read mind, then you can levitate, and you can do a lot of funny things, stand on water, walk. But then, is that what meditation is all about? Understand? Ability to do all this, what does it mean? You are still within the conditioned world, subject to birth, old age, sickness and death. You cannot transcend because you haven't developed the wisdom, the understanding to liberate the mind, to realize that Nibbana. That's why that Nibbana is a very unique experience, which the energy field thought based on cannot develop one. They cannot even touch it, where they don't know what the thing is. You realize all of their meditation, they don't have sati. They don't have sati. All of the earlier meditation. Now we have Alicia. The hand come out already. Come. Song has been waiting for you. Come. So let her share. Very good.
Hello, Bratio. Kanana.
Kanan means gratitude.
Light. I think for the past 3 years, I here share meditation. I have seen this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But 那天 after Sumiro 回来，那个 Sunday 的早上。
Yeah.
然后我就觉得我的 movement 跟我的 awareness 好像很奇怪这样。 然后 after 我做完某些事情，我早上该做的事之后，然后我就坐住那边，我想做。其实我 in front 我的 Buddha 那边，我不知道要做什么。然后我就讲唱心经吧。就唱心经。然后。 As 我唱那个心经，我觉得我的那个禅定是从我的，我没有出生的，只是从这边，一句一句很清楚，很清晰的这样子。然后我就唱了三次，很然后，那我就讲，那我要做什么呢？然后我就 OK。 那我就做 meditation， 然后我就坐下来，一下下它就很快就进入那个。可是我在那一瞬间，我见到好像一朵莲花，那个光，然后就好像一股 energy 一直这样子，然后它维持了好一阵子，然后我就心想，我会不会是进入？ Hello， 我会不会是就是你们每次说的那个 concentration？ 所以我只是
不是那个不是， Wait, 那个 battery, I have to change the battery.
Hello?
No, I have to change your battery.
Hello?
不是的，我换你的 battery, 拿那个麦来。
Hello, Brother Teo, 就是那个光，就是我要知道，我怕我不懂是什么。
Yeah, 不是，
因为我知道我的 awareness 就在这里。
Correct. Yes, that is from the awareness.
在这里。
对，it's a manifestation.
请 Brother Teo 为我开示。阿弥陀佛。
Good. 阿弥陀佛，萨德，萨德。Very good. We also rejoice. 萨德，萨德，萨德。Those who don't know Mandarin, I try to translate a bit because quite long. I scared I cannot remember everything. What she said was concerning the Samatha meditation that we discussed based on Jewish question, like people seeing light and all those things. He said for 3 years he has learned meditation here. He has never seen any light. But our recent trip, on the 23rd Saturday morning, we went to Sumeru. Then that trip, something happened. That's why she had this very good experience and joy. In fact, the whole of that morning trip and journey was very beautiful, the whole of Sumeru experience. Those who went, they will know. When we were doing the puja, especially at the main shrine, then the Kuan Yin Pond later, the energy there is very, very different, very still. You can go into meditation very easily. That's why, like she mentioned, when she was there, the mind state was beautiful, very mindful, peaceful. Then she was facing, I think,佛像啊，佛像还是观音像？佛像。啊，你说你 were in front of the Buddha Rupang or 观音 Rupang？
那个是不是那个是苏米若？是我在苏米若的时候，就是他没有那个，是因为我从苏米若。
我知道 ，before 你
穿
那个哈苏达的时候，你
是
facing。哦，在家里 ，OK。
It was at home. That because every morning I used to sit in front of the Buddha. Then
那个是在家里啊
，OK。在家里
，OK。So it's not the Sumeru.
Sumeru 是因为我一 after 我一去到那边，我的 body 就 vibrate 了。
好。
Then after that, after 他们 finish everything, as I step out, only 那个观音菩萨的那个 mantra 又
come to you again，
在那边。
So、follow you，
我感觉到很开心。
Yeah, sadhu. Okay, very good. So it's actually the one that she experienced at home when she was in front of the Buddha image. 那个是佛像啊 ，Buddha image 啊，不是观音像啊。Okay， then 为什么你 suddenly want to chant the Heart Sutta？
因为我每一天有时念完《金刚经》，我会念一遍《心经》。可是那天因为要去苏米若，我就来
不
及了，我就唱《金刚经》，就没有唱《哈苏特拉》。然后 next morning Sunday morning， 我就想那就唱《心经》吧。
Okay, very good, very good. Sadhu, now I understand. So the day before she supposed to join us for the Sumeru trip, we supposed to meet here 7:30.That's why that day came earlier. So she said not enough time. So she only recited the Mahayana chanting sutta. Then he didn't recite the Heart Sutta. So after the Sumeru trip, the next morning, when she was doing her daily religious routine, the puja, then that understanding came to her that maybe today he should chant the Heart Sutta. So that was what happened. So the Heart Sutta, when he starts to recite, there was no word, no verbalization, but from the nature, the Heart Sutta, like she described, very clear. It just arise, and he chanted the whole Heart Sutta, repeated it 3 times. Then after that, he saw the lotus, the bright lotus, the light. Then he scared that is samatha, or what they call concentration. So I told her, no, she just want to have an understanding. Then she wants me to elaborate on this. So next time when this manifests with the chanting of the Heart Sutta, with your faith, sadha virya, and your mind is very calm and very peaceful, you just silent and be with that thing. Then just rejoice. Then see how it manifests. It will become very different, very different. We are all these are manifestation. Then she saw it above here, the forehead here. It's not at the heart there, understand? Because this is the manifestation, what they call the consciousness, the manifestation. So when you do certain thing with faith, with understanding, with mindfulness, so all this mind state can arise, and they are very pure, very, very pure. No. She did focus. He didn't focus, understand? He didn't concentrate. The thing just manifests on its own. It will come. No. You have to understand. When you develop the spiritual faculty, it's a different type of experience, understand? When your faith is very strong, when your virya is there, when you are already connected with the understanding and the wisdom, you are not deluded by all these things already. Then this nature, when it manifests, is for you to develop the understanding. Because everything has its condition arising state, understand? No matter what it is, it will arise, then it will pass away. During the early day, I remember what happened was, that time I still don't know how to meditate. But the moment I went in and developed that type of meditation, like I told you, after Chief Reverend, I was 4 hours inside. Then after that, I became very different. Then later on, whenever I meditate, this nimitta will come, no? Because this was developed from the past. Yeah. And this nimitta is very funny. It's violet in color, or you call purple. Purple. The light comes, very beautiful. Very beautiful. Then it's like moving inside there. Then within that violet, there is this like very bright spark like that. Effervescent, very fast changing. Keep on changing. Then because I develop mindfulness to anapanasati, then I just silence my mind and just stay there. Then I saw the whole of the movement. It was so fast. Then it's like, it tell your nature that condition arising thing, nature is like that. In a state of flux, ever changing, continuously changing, and nothing can be faster than that because it's so fast. Then as I relax and develop this awareness, then that thing slowly disappear and cease. That's why I didn't go into absorption, I didn't go into concentration, because my past training allowed me to understand. But when I have this vision, the mind become very calm, very peaceful, very fast, and it goes into it. But it doesn't absorb into it, because very likely it's from my past training, because I understand what this thing is. That's why I cannot go into one-pointedness. But I developed the continuous mindfulness and went into absorption before. Then when I was in absorption, this energy, the continuous mindfulness, shut off my sense door. Remember I told you? Middle of the night, I meditate. Then they got this racing bike, or this car at night, middle of the night, with the exhaust ram very loud on. Woom, 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 that go on. Then when I was in the midst of developing this absorption, continuous mindfulness, when I allow the mindfulness to go into deep absorption, continuous mindfulness, it suddenly shut off my hearing consciousness. Both sides, all of a sudden, that very loud sound from outside, suddenly disappear. Then this awareness inside is still very clear because it's in continuous mindfulness. Then you want to find out whether this is temporary or what. Then what happened was, if I don't release this continuous mindfulness, I cannot hear anything. Then I decide to release it out. The moment I release it out, the hearing consciousness came back, very long. Again, this sound came. Then I knew what this thing is. Then I continue to relax, silent, then allow this so-called anapanasati to develop. That time I was still in the university, and I was trapped in this state for a number of years. Even continuous mindfulness is a conditioned state, understand? But I didn't go into one-pointedness. Although I experienced the one-pointedness, but I didn't go into it because of my past. Then from there, because I didn't release it out to do the lady mindfulness until I met this teacher, Achanyandra, when he told me the highest meditation, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Then only I release out the whole of this so-called continuous mindfulness or anapanasati into normal awareness. And then only I start to understand the reality. Then after that, within 2 weeks, I developed the daily mindfulness. Then since then until now, I never touched those energy fields. I can still experience them if I want to, but no point, because they are just conditioned state. So now, because the mind can enter stillness, sati, without going into those absorption and continuous mindfulness, so I don't need all those things. You can just silent and become very still. You realize sati very fast. Then now it has become so different because it has become part of my nature. 24 years ago, since the Monday mind collapsed, actually, technically, I don't need to meditate. But because I have to teach, just like sometimes I have to sit with you all because I knew some of you all need faith. Then I remember earlier day, Yun Chai used to ask me, he said, "Ratio, you are so good, why don't you go for retreat? Is it a waste?" I also don't know how to answer her at that time. Because technically, I don't need to do anything. But because I need to teach, and I need to share. That's why in the retreat, sometimes I see people still need to see. You know why or not? Because they cannot subdue the mind. They thought they had to use meditation to subdue the mind. No, you subdue the mind through wisdom. Understand? That's why I can be in the midst of life and I'm like in a retreat condition. Understand? My mind state is throughout the day like that one. No. That is the posture you see. But he worked very hard. Understand? He wake up very early. He hardly sleep. No, he hardly sleep. He got a lot of visitor one. He got a lot of invitation one. He go pinapat. Then he got to actually, what they call, organize a lot of things. Because all this Vasa, range retreat, all, he got to lead, he got to chant and all those things. Then when he deliver all this talk, Ananda is supposed to be the one that remember all this. So that when the Buddha is not around, he can repeat them. So, because they don't know how to subdue their mind. Achamba Mahabhava also did that. You go and read his book. He himself realized he was trapped. He said he tried to make the citta peaceful. Understand? When he was trapped in the luminous citta, at first he thought he got it already. Because it becomes so bright, so luminous, and so still. He thought that was the true mind. That was a trap. That was a contagious thing. Then all of a sudden, for no reason, he lost all his sati and his samadhi. Then that maya like doesn't listen to him at all. Then he also don't know what to do. He buddho again to control that maya. You can read, it's all in his book. And that was how he got caught. Because he didn't go into daily mindfulness. That's why finally he realized when he went into daily mindfulness that he don't need to subdue this mind. It's not through control, not through subducing the mind. It's through wisdom. When you understand, the mind ceases to have any power over you. Because this mind is the mundane mind. It must cease, understand? No? Through wisdom, nothing else. If you go into energy and try to subduce it, it's like sun seal, understand? No? Polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. Means ever mindful, understand? No? Or means you cannot like slack. You have to be every time very attentively mindful. How can you live like that? Like that you cannot live like that. And that is not meditation at all. That one is during training. No. When you are training, you have to develop until you are ever mindful. That's why heedfulness is ever mindful. The constantly meditative and ever mindful. And that is heedfulness. That's why sati alone, if you cannot develop it until you are ever mindful in the midst of life, you are still not in heedfulness. Understand not? If you are only ever mindful when you are in the form of meditation, you are still not able to develop the real heedfulness. The real heedfulness is swift, silent, and attentive. The mind is in sati. That's why you must heed past sati. Until the mind is in sati. You understand that phrase or not? The mind is in sati means you silent, relax until this past sati becomes so still. You don't need any meditation object to make it still. Understand? You don't have to hold on to anything. And this is the mind that has no dwelling, like Huining. He understood. And this mind that has no dwelling is already in sati. That's why you listen from this mind, which is the true mind. Every moment of hearing is in sati. Every moment of seeing is in sati. Understand? Specific phenomenal awareness. Then when you silent, no center, then you are one with the whole of nature, oneness. That's why this is called general spacious awareness, no center. But when you live life, you have to be with the phenomena, otherwise you cannot live. And so when you drive car, you cannot have general spacious awareness, you will bang and have a lot of problem, accident. But you have to observe through mindfulness. That's why continuous spacious, not spacious. Specific phenomenal awareness. And that is the daily mindfulness. That's why at that time I realized everything I see is like my mind is with it. Like the Char Kway Teow guy. Whatever is movement, my mind, my mindfulness or sati is with the thing. You have to be able to do it to your own internal kaya. That's why satipatthana, the first foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupasana, the Buddha said, mindfulness of the four posture internally, then externally. This is what the Buddha meant. Means other people's four posture you can also follow. Means your sati is really very stable. That all of the phenomena that move in nature, whatever that through the six sense door, everything is in sati. You taste also in sati. Smell also in sati one, very different one. Then the arising of the thought also, every arising is the whole sati is with it. That's why I explained to you all, remember? You can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of contact, before that stirring and movement. It can stay there. Then at the moment of arising of consciousness, it can stay there. Then the input of content, it can be aware of that. Then how that content, due to your views and opinion, how you want to move and stir. And whatever it do, you can be with the moment. That's why that mindfulness can be with the aggregate of mind. And this is very different. Very, very different. You can stay there. No movement at all. That's why feeling become pure feeling. Cannot become craving.
That's why I say you don't have wisdom in the moment of sense experience, you cannot cut a feeling. Because this one immediately become craving because of ignorance, because you lack wisdom. Then the mind will stir. You will move. That's why the aggregates of the arahant, they are pure aggregate, without grasping, without self-delusion, without craving. That's why it can be like that. Understand? So it's very different. Okay? Then coming back to Alicia, I think didn't finish. So this manifestation that arises through the spiritual faculty, you don't worry. Sometimes it can be a message from this being. That's why sometimes like Song used to tell you all, and even Alicia also. Sometimes from nowhere, from the nature, the Dhamma will just arise. Especially the Mahayana Sutta type of teaching, they will just arise and remind you about the cultivation. What Song went through one. Each year you wait for Ru Mong Huan Pao Ying, Ru Lu Yi Ru Tian, then Ying Zi Ru Si Guan. It just arrived like that. Then all the other type of thing that later on he saw in Cameron. What they call Ming, Ming Xing, Jian Xing. All this will arise. Then later on, Liao Liao Jian Xing, Chang Zhu. So all this you will understand. It's from the nature come out and tell you one. And this one is not through delusion. This one is not through the thought, understand? This one is manifestation through the spiritual faculty, through your nature. Then from your past cultivation, it will come, connect, and allow you to understand. That's why you pass through all this very fast. That's why I went through all this, because I have developed and perfected them from the past. Then during that period, I remember, that's why I keep on reminding Brother Song and Alicia there, whatever that happened, do not question. As long as you are sincere, you have done it with the faith, the understanding, then all this will arise. It's part of the way. Part of the way. Then it's for you to understand. Then as you pass through, then no more already. Then you will reach back to your level last time where you stopped. And you will know one. And then from there you continue. Then because of the vow, this nature knows it has this duty to do. A lot of this duty because of affinity and all those things. Then this is part of the way, part of the perfection, part of the cultivation, part of your vow that you are holding. That's why initially it's the four basic vow, the Bodhisattva vow. So all this, the cultivator who go this way will come to understand later on. And many of you, you all may not know now. Later on, you will have a very, very great surprise as to what your nature is like. You won't know until later. Then when it happens, when the condition arises and when it connects, it is so amazing. Sometimes you cannot tell yourself, I very child and I got nothing on. But when the time comes, you ask yourself, like Alicia, 16 years of depression. No Dhamma be nothing like that when she come. She was full of suffering. Then how come within the last 3 years, you can understand so many things and just transform and become so beautiful? Until Freddie also surprised. Freddie also now come and follow. How can it happen to a lady who is in depression for so long and suffered so much? And she used to share her story. Elsie, you know, the best friend, very close friend. Then not only her, many, many Kanyamita who has gone through suffering. And the next book that is going to come out, you go and read through, it summarizes the meditation. Then also the two questions, one by Christina and the other one by Serena. The Christina one was very good, the question. There were a lot of good conditions. And Christina also, in a different way, but equally miserable, went through life. Actually, you read through, you will know. She went through very, very difficult life experiences and very severe tests. And yet, he can just become what she is now. So different. The mind state so beautiful. Can understand so many things. Can appreciate so many things. And he can even tell you the true mind that is without all this delusion, grasping, clinging, is so beautiful. And she can really live and experience that in life itself. He doesn't know the Dhamma one last time. He drink, he smoke. She went out late night and all those things and got depression and a lot of problems. And many years back, the husband passed away, very traumatic. Then she was actually like devastated, the whole thing, like the whole of hell collapsed on her. And yet, he can just recover and come out, become so beautiful, just because of the Dhamma. So all these are possible when you have the condition. And when you connect, you move very fast. Like Brother Song also last time, he said he has already in meditation for so many years. I think before he came and see me, he was already 15 years old. Then later on he came, for a few years he cannot understand what I say. Then later on, I remember Polai came. Then Polai understand very fast. Then he was complaining after that class. I remember there was 1 year plus ago. He said, how come I so child? I said, no, your time will come. You have not connected. That's why later on, within not long, I think beginning of last year, or end of last year, when Yun Chan organized that trip to Rayong, Achanan there, I think only a few of them went. He just got connected up there when he heard the chanting and all those things. Then what happened was, after that, he read my Heart Sutta note. He start to understand everything that he never understood. He said he has read my dependent origination, Paticca-samuppada, that transcript 6 times last time, he cannot understand. But the moment he connect, he understand everything. Then the Mahayana Sutta also he understand on his own. Then just now in the dinner, he can tell Susan there also. He said, doesn't involve any thought one. The direct seeing, the understanding come by itself. That's why when you meditate, don't try to know. Then some Kayanamita who understand, they already say, you just follow what Brother Teo tell you, have faith and do. Don't try to know. You will progress very fast. Don't become like Taikui Kiang. Don't be too smart. If you think you're too smart, you cannot learn. Start from base zero, like you don't know anything. Clean slate. Find out everything. Remove all your conditioning. Whatever you have studied last time, forget about it. And start anew and ask yourself, I want to understand the Buddha Dharma from zero base. And then you realize that without the conditioning, your investigation is very different. You will understand very differently. Because last time when you have all this conditioning, you actually read with this conditioning. That's why a lot of things you cannot accept without you knowing it. That resistance from inside cannot develop the faith and the understanding. Yeah, you keep on comparing. Cannot be lah. Where got that? Where you read, there is no faith at all. Where, like what is being described, doesn't match with what you were told and learned. And so, that's why that becomes a hindrance. That's why the Mahayana Sutta, Wu Liang Shou Jing, Pure Land Sutta, is it Suo Zi Zhang? Knowledge bind. All of knowledge is obstruction. Karmic obstruction and Dhamma obstruction. So, Zi Zhang. Then the other one is worry. 烦恼障。When you have worry, anxiety, you cannot meditate. Huh? When you have problem, you cannot meditate. Oh, 10:20 already. So today no Diamond Sutta. Where were we? At which page were we? Oh, 52. Oh, we're supposed to start a new chapter, isn't it? Oh, 52 not finished. Oh, good. Then we finish 52 now. Okay. Oh, I think we finish up to 4. Number 3, yeah? Nirvana of pure, clear self-nature. The self-nature is inherent in everyone. So this one you know, what? Buddha nature. Okay? Your true nature. Yeah. This one is not subject to birth and death, and is not larger in sage or smaller in ordinary people. Because you must understand, here they didn't explain to you clearly, you know. This Buddha nature, you can only connect to it through the gateway, but you must have a form of mind. Understand now? Karmically conditioned out. Without that vehicle, you cannot connect. Yeah. That's why they didn't explain. Yeah. So this part is very important. Then Nirvana with residue. By using the flame of wisdom on the fuel of affliction, the secondary bond of delusion are severed. But the basic bond of the body remains. The body which remains is subject to the share section, birth and death. Now this is a segmented form of mind. That is said to be Nirvana with residue. This one, Theravada also used the same word. Nirvana with residue. You know, when the Arahant or the Bodhisattva that has realized Nirvana, they still have the form of mind, Anasana. Their life force hasn't ceased. But the moment they parinibbana, that is Nirvana without residue, Anasana, means they relinquish the five aggregate. But the one with residue is the five aggregate is still with it. Then the third one is Nirvana without residue when affliction and the residue of share section, birth and death, are extinguished. So this one is the one that I mentioned. The multitude of suffering is eternally still and there is no further residue. This is Parinibbana, Anasana, after the cessation of form and mind. Then Nirvana of no dwelling. Here, wisdom and compassion are mutually interactive. Those who have attained or realized the Nirvana of no dwelling continue to cross living being over, but are themselves not subject to birth and death. You understand this or not? Huh? How many of you cannot understand? Oh, only one hand. Oh, the rest all understand. Two, three. Oh, this one I better explain. You see, Nirvana with no dwelling means the Bodhisattva who actually cultivate the Diamond Sutta, they have realized the wisdom of no mark. Understand? That's why not only the mind has got no dwelling, they have realized the Dhamma that has no mark. So when you have that, wisdom and compassion are mutually interactive. That's why you have the perfection of wisdom and compassion. These are the embodiment of great beings, great Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, and also enlightened being, like fully enlightened being, like all the Buddhas. So here, when you have that, he said, those who have attained the Nirvana or no dwelling continue to cross living being, means they continue to take the Bodhisattva away. They come back and continue to liberate living being, but are themselves not subject to birth and death. So this one you understand or not? Themselves not subject to birth and death. I have explained this before. Yeah? I will explain it one more time. Yeah? You listen. This one is very useful for those who go the Bodhisattva way. You see, let's say this one is a normal human being. Normal human being. Then let's say the other one, blue color. This one is the Bodhisattva. This one, upon death, what happened? Upon death, what happened? Separation of consciousness from the form. Correct or not? So this one, separate. Come out. This one, the physical body, you can do autopsy, you can cremate, nothing happened. Or not. But before it come out, during death, at the moment of death, there is the last thought moment. What is this last thought moment? Yun Chan no. Going for holiday, Chuti Chitta. Chuti. Pergi cuti, cuti cita. Then this last thought moment, because it is deluded. Deluded. What happened? Then it conditioned rebirth consciousness. That's why this one got rebirth. Rebirth consciousness. Whereas this one, the Bodhisattva, they don't die. They actually realize parinibbana. So there is no last thought moment of delusion. There is no avijja. So what happened? The whole thing ceases. Cessation of form and mind. This one just ceases. That's why this one go into parinibbana. Then there is no rebirth consciousness. That's why here he said the Bodhisattva is not subject to birth and death. That's segmented birth and death. Then you say if it's not subject to birth and death, then how does the Bodhisattva come? Very good. They choose to come. Joyce, no. They choose to come. How do they choose? Through their vow. They have to invoke what? Just now we just read, they have to invoke what? The two interactive thing. You read back the fourth one. What is it? You must have wisdom, means the understanding, means you know how to come. Then you choose to come. That's why wisdom is there. Plus compassion. This love and compassion is a pure mind. Understand not? Understand not? For Brahma Vihara state, without ignorance, without delusion, they use this to pull out the pure mind to take rebirth. Understand not? That's why they come with a pure mind. That's why Hui Ning come without the mundane mind. Then when I was very young, I remember for the first 6 years, my mother told me, my grandmother was so scared. He thought I dumb. I cannot talk on. I saw my photo when I was 2 years old. I look. I knew. No thought one inside there. No thought one. Then that mind is so different. Because it's a pure mind. That's why the Bodhisattva, when they come, they are very different. But then this pure mind, because like the Buddha say, that form and mind is subject to karma, understand not? So this one, even though it's a Bodhisattva, This form and mind is still subject to karma. Understand not? That's why it's born of his karma, heir to his karma, conditioned and supported by his karma. And this form and mind is what it is because of his karma. But because of the wisdom and your perfection, that's why your karmic nature is very beautiful. Understand? Not? That's why when this form and mind come, it is very different. Understand? Not? It inherit everything. Then it will know how to meditate. It will know how to connect. It will have the causes and condition and affinity with all the great beings. That's why this life, when I reflect back, long ago, I already knew this nature is different. That's why I used to tell my wife and last night a few Kayamita, when you come to know what this nature is, you will get a shock of your life. You cannot be so perfect on everything. Since the day I was born until now, everything is very perfect. Like go your way. Plan also cannot plan until like that one. So this one, because of the understanding of the wisdom and the virtue, it has its ability to have all this condition to manifest. Then it will know how to connect. And when it connect, after that only the spiritual nature, this one will come in. This one will only come in and support when this form and mind has the ability to meditate and connect back to the true nature and true mind. And this one is not like the karmic nature. This karmic nature upon birth. Upon birth or this segmented one, this one straight away influence the form and mind. That's why before it connects, it's just like an ordinary human being. It also has suffering. It also has all the what the normal human being go through. Like Sakyamuni, the 6 years of self-mortification, he go through all, he experienced. But the moment he connects and develops this understanding and wisdom, this form and mind is no longer deluded. You can say this guy, the so-called segmented life of his, is enlightened. This is the Sammasambuddha, understand? But this is not him, understand? But this is karmically conditional, a functional body for him to use. Understand? Through karma. That's why he understands and he uses it. That's why he got no more problem. When he realized this is not him, he got no more problem with old age, sickness, and death. Yeah, it belongs to the form and mind. He realized that the true nature never die. And that one is not a human being. It's not an entity. It's a oneness nature. Oneness. Yeah, one with everything. They call it the singularity. Understand? The singularity is the beginning, the original nature. From there, it arises everything. Scientists also came to know about the singularity. He said, you can go into the subatomic world and reduce everything back to the singularity at the moment before it starts. And the Sammasambuddha is actually that singularity with the whole oneness understanding. That's why it is all-knowing, omnipresent, omnipotent, and all those things. Because from there, everything arises. That's why there is nothing that can be known, cannot be known by the Sammasambuddha. They have this very special ability. Yeah. Yeah. Like a normal human being. Yes. Yes. But you cannot understand. No, you can. You cannot understand this form of mind. Because I went through that when I was young. Actually, I told you all, I was so tired, 8 years old. I actually overexert. I was so tired that I came back. Oh, I have to stop soon. Let me finish this. I was so tired. Then I came back. Then I literally like collapsed on the bed. I totally got no more strength. And you know what happened? Because of that, this craving force within my body, it starts to dissipate now. Because I was so weak until like it cannot sustain this life force inside. You know. Then I actually, during that time, I don't even know what is craving force. You know. But later on, when I developed the meditation, then I reflect back because I can recall what happened at that time. The mind was so quiet and so still. It was so tired. Actually, most people would have slept. But this form of mind didn't sleep. You know. At that time, I don't know how to meditate. I don't even know any Dhamma. But it like know how to die. You know. This craving for dissipate. Then all this energy, they come back. Then these three areas of consciousness, they combine back into one. No? The brain one come down, the heart, then the Tan Tien one come out. These three go into one. Then this one, whole thing come out. It like know how to die. You know? There is no fear, nothing. No? The craving force or nothing. Then it come out. That's why it's very different. Then later on, when my brother walked in, then only I realized the consciousness was up there, the body was down there. Then I wanted to go in back into the body and take possession. Cannot go in. Because actually the craving force already gone, taken out. And some, they call it the silver cord. Silver cord. Also severed, isn't it? Because the whole thing is gone, not connected already. But then, not meant to be. Not supposed to die yet. That's why, either Kuan Yin's nature or what, I don't know. Something just say, you struggle. Give it a push. Then I just give it a push, struggle. Then I align back. Then gain back control of the body. Oh, then like, relief. No? Able to go into the body. The first thing I did was I went out and called my brother. Did you walk into the room and say all those things? He looked at me. You know, he said, you were sleeping like a log. He said, how did you know? He said, how can you know I say all those things? I said, never mind. I just want to confirm that it's not a dream or hallucination. And it's so clear. That's why they cannot die like a normal person and body in hell. Cannot. Impossible. Because they have that. Correct. No, if you choose to go and take birth there, you can. Understand or not? Yes. That's why the word is, if you choose to come. Understand or not? That's why the word is, if you choose to come, you have to come, of course, you got no control there. Correct or not? Have to come is what? Karma decide. Not you decide. But if you choose to come, means you don't have to come. Understand or not? No. They have already realized Nibbana. But they have developed the vow. Understand or not? That allow them to pull out a pure mind to take rebirth. No need for the last thought moment. They can come with a pure mind. Understand or not? Because of their vow. No, because they vow to save living beings. And it becomes a nature's law. Then they, through their own understanding, they will decide when to come.
There are people here who may like to take the Bodhisattva way.
There are a lot.
And to me, those are Bodhisattvas in training, so to speak.
Depend.
So they will have depend. To go through different
no,
stages.
No, depend. A lot of them, you will be very surprised. There are some who already have taken the vow.
Okay, let's just assume they have to start somewhere.
Yes.
You know, so they will be Bodhisattvas in training, I call them that.
It depends.
Maybe pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, standard one, PhD, we don't know. But when they do that, You know, vows are easy to make and easy to break. For the average, no, for the average human being,
You never mind, never mind. Let you elaborate. I know.
99.999% will make a vow, say they make a vow, but many will break it.
Okay.
So, I mean,
you, what you are referring to,
training,
no, no, what you are referring to is because you are referring to the masses, understand not? The general public, general people. But what we are talking here is those who have the condition, the affinity, and the ability to comprehend and make the decision. And these are the ones that is very serious, I tell you. They are not.
So it's the point, 1.1111%
yeah, very,
of
very
the
few,
point
very few.
0.00001%.
Yes, yes, yes. Very few. Very, very few. You don't have to know whether you are in that group or not, because the mundane mind cannot know until the condition arises, and things can just happen. That's why sometimes you look at the world during the Buddha's time, Angulimala. I ask you, when, let's say you at that era, Angulimala, he killed 999 human beings that life. No? And if someone tell you he will become an arahant soon, what do you think? You say madness, crazy. Understand? No? But then he became arahant. Understand? No? How did it happen? The parami is there, but because that last life he got that karmic condition to go through that, that's why he has to go through that. And those people who are supposed to die in his hand has to die, understand, because of coming. So there are a lot of things that you cannot understand on. Like I explained, who was it that I explained to? Was it Song or Alicia? I said karma very difficult to understand. I think Song, Brother Song. Brother Song. You can never understand karma unless you are the great being or Sammasambuddha. They are very complicated and very complex. And we better end. Okay, we rejoice. Sadhu. So, sorry. Today, no Diamond Sutta. Oh, a little bit. A little bit. Also, didn't finish that chapter. But this one is useful for those who go the Bodhisattva way. You wanna, then maybe today, last class before New Year. After New Year, we come back and remind me. The Vincent one, you'll go back and open the Tuesday class one and listen. Maybe Thursday class and Kamita don't have, I'll forward there. But that one is Vedanta, the Hindu teaching, not talking about the soul. Then I will show you the difference. Then you will understand. You will enjoy that type of understanding. Then you all should thank Vincent, because he wants to show the different teaching. The way they describe the death process and how the mind become what it is actually quite interesting, because a lot of people will be interested because it sounds so logical, understand? Like very convincing. But in reality, it's not like that one. And the subtle difference is because they fail to understand what Nibbana is. They fail to understand what enlightenment is. And they don't know what this form of mind is. That's why they believe in the soul, in the super Atman and all those things. Okay, we do a quick sharing of merits and transfer merits. We just chant the Pali. Save some time. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu lokasasana itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hito cha Pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko idmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu.
Okay, we pay respect mindfully to all the great beings.